Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Kia ora, Penelope Noir. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. I'm actually doing pretty well today. How about yourself, Zoe?
Yeah, I'm good.
That's good to hear. Now, I'm excited about the subject we are diving into on fashion today. What is it?
Well, I've just kind of got a shout out to the Great British Sewing Bee because it's the gift that keeps on giving. I got this idea from that show because they ended up having to make this dress, and I'd never realised how complicated it is. But we're going to look at Marilyn Monroe's halter dress.
Cool, okay.
Everyone should know. It's probably one of the most iconic images of the 20th century.
So this is
Marilyn Monroe standing on a New York grate in the film The Seven-Year Itch, and she's wearing an ivory white cocktail dress. And this dress was made of rayon acetate crepe, so it was heavy enough for her to kind of swish when she was walking along, but light enough to have a breeze capture it.
So it is, I think, the most iconic image. When you say Marilyn Monroe, that is probably the picture that is conjured in most people's minds.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, I don't know about you, but when I was a, you know, maybe intermediate school, that was kind of like, she was the icon for a lot of young women, and they would have that poster of her standing on the grate.
Yes, I think that one's never gone out of fashion.
Yeah, and it's kind of such a weird thing. I don't know if you've ever been to New York, but when you stand on a grate, I always found it really warm, not cool. But she, in the scene in the movie, she's like gone to the movies with her neighbour. They've had this kind of like flirtatious relationship for quite a while, and they're on a date, and she kind of walks across it and goes, you know, her skirt blows up, and she's like all flirtatious and stuff. And yeah, it's pretty funny.
She is. I think the thing about Marilyn is, I mean, there's so much depth to her, and she gets often reduced, I think, in history to her image, but she was such a clever comedy actress. Like, she knew timing like nobody else.
Yeah, and I think this is like what her struggle was in her life, was that people just saw her and the image that, or the roles that she portrayed, was someone of like innocence and naivety, but in actual fact she was extremely clever, extremely complex. And I think like the designer who designed this dress really embodied that, that mixture of innocence and seduction that she played in movies, you know. The designer was a guy called William Travilla, who actually had a relationship with Marilyn at one point. He was the leading costume designer for 20th Century Fox. He also created Monroe's pink and gold pieces for Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
That is the other image I go to when I think of like Marilyn in my brain, is probably that, those two things. So he's done well for iconic looks.
Yeah, definitely. And he, what's quite interesting about him is that he was interested in art, and he initially went to an art school in LA and frequented burlesque clubs and just sketched the people dancing and stuff, and kind of just gave them to the dancers. And then he got an inheritance and travelled around Tahiti and the South Seas, and then came back and sold Tahitian-inspired pictures at a tiki bar. And then he just decided to go to another art school and design and learn fashion design. And so he did that. And an actress, he made a couple of skating dresses. And an actress noticed him and asked Warner Brothers to take him on as her costume designer.
Oh, cool. That's a good thing, getting the ultimate shoulder tap for a role like that.
Yeah, and but he ended up being one of the leading designers for 20th Century Fox, which is where Marilyn was when Seven-Year Itch was made. And the film was directed by Billy Wilder. And apparently the scene with the dress, it was filmed on the 15th of September in 1954 in New York City, of course. It took place at 1 a.m. on the corner of Lexington and 52nd Street. And it took 3 hours to film and 14 takes. And there was a bit of a problem because it drew between 2,000 to 5,000 people as spectators. And every time Marilyn stood on the grate and the dress blew up, they cheered. So they had to reshoot the whole thing on the Fox lot in California.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
God, but that would be exhausting, wouldn't it?
Can you imagine it?
Yeah. Just trying to do my job. Leave me alone, you pervs.
Yeah, I just feel like it's weird because every time I keep thinking of her standing on that grate and the dress blowing up, I'm embarrassed. I'm like feeling my face getting red. Like, you know, when it's happened to you when your dress is blown up and you're so embarrassed.
Yes.
You know, but she's just like, yeah, I'm going with it.
If only we could all pull off a bit of Marilyn's, you know, energy when something like you walk out of the bathroom with your skirt hooked up and you're
like, oh my God.
We've all been there. We've all been there.
She wore two pairs of white underwear to make sure the modesty was, you know, intact.
Mm.
And it's quite, her husband, Joe DiMaggio at the time, who was a famous baseballer, was on set and he famously stormed off and they had a massive row after this. And then, because he said it was too immodest, and they ended up getting divorced over it.
Well, oh my this God.
Was, this is part of, you know, one of the reasons, because he was very volatile anyway. But it's quite interesting because William Travilla, the designer, said, oh, that silly dress. He didn't kind of hold much weight for it, but it ended up selling for $4.6 million in 2011.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and it's quite an interesting design, because if you look at it, like, I've always thought it was really, really simple, but apparently it's very difficult to make. It's quite complicated. The fabric is quite slippery to sew.
Right.
So you know, it's got all these, it just looks simple.
It's that, it's the classic sort of, the most sort of elegant thing that looks like it takes the littlest ease has actually had a lot of, the most ease rather has taken so much time and so much planning and very painstaking work to make it look that simple.
Yeah. And one thing that I read that I kind of wanted to quote was, it looked both angelically white and daringly audacious. It reflected the actress's own beguiling contradictions, which is so true. And the image has been imitated so many times. You know, like, I think there's one advertising campaign I read about where it's like a absolute vodka bottle, and the bottle is on a grate in New York City and the label is just slightly blowing up, you know, and just like very subtle things like that, that has, you know, influenced so many things, and lots of people have imitated the look in fashion shoots and on stage, you know.
She always is like timeless in that sense that, you know, she'll always be referenced, she'll always be in style. I was thinking about Billie Eilish's incredible look that she wore to the Met Gala this year, which was
that was amazing.
Marilyn inspired, and actually pretty much half of the red carpet was Marilyn inspired because everyone was trying to do old Hollywood glamour. But, you know, she has got something that kind of transcends time itself a wee bit.
Yeah, definitely.
We've had a very good suggestion for a track to play from someone saying Happy Endings by Board Games is a great Marilyn song. So I reckon we might jump into that now. Thank you for bringing us that beautiful dress this morning, Penny. I hope you have a great rest of your Monday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir. We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.